Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see all of you here today. If you're watching online, we want to say welcome to you. Thanks for joining us. Very special morning this morning. A couple of things going on. At Auburn Grace, we really believe in making Jesus known in our community, in our nation, and around the world. In fact, every Monday morning, we take a certain percentage of our offerings and we set it aside as our tithe to the Lord as a church family, just to use to make Jesus known in our community and around the world. And so that's opened the door for us to accept invitations to come and do God's work in the community, in our nation, around the world. We have over 65 mission partners that you support, that we engage in. Every year we take several mission trips to go to different places to make Jesus known. And this morning, come on up here, Brian and Alan. Our worship team has been invited to go back to Slovenia and to lead in some worship there and some worship conferences. And so the team is leaving on Wednesday. And they're going to be gone for 10 days, okay? And we want you to pray for them as they go. So they're going to be leaving on Wednesday, and they're coming back next Saturday. So that's about 10 days. And so we are asking this morning, hey, who's going to pray for our worship team as they go to Slovenia for the next 10 days? Raise your hand. You pray for them as much as God brings it to mind over the next 10 days, okay? So you're going to be covered in prayer. So the team is who? Tell us who the team is, Brian.
It's going to be myself, Alan, Natalie, who sings with us, Micah, who's the guy who plays guitar, and his wife, and Natalie's mom, Polita, who does our lights. And yeah, give her a big hand, because she does lights every week here.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Yeah. There'll be no lights next week, unfortunately. So
it'll be a dark service next Sunday, so bring your flashlights. Okay, right? And what's the primary goal and objective that you're going to be engaged in Slovenia?
Yeah, so our primary ministry, we have missionaries that we fund and support in Slovenia, and we're actually not going to Slovenia this time.
Oh,
so
okay.
Basically, our missionaries in Slovenia are planning, every other year they plan a big conference, and they're connected to the United World Mission Conference, which has missionaries all over Europe, all over the world. And so every other year they host a conference where they invite every missionary who's able to come to a singular location. And they hold a conference where basically for a whole week they just have a week of rest, and they're just really ministered to and served. And so our team is going to be meeting them. They picked a location in Greece that we're going to be going and leading worship for them, and we're going to be serving their families by serving them food, doing whatever we can to basically let them rest and enjoy a week of relaxation, and we'll take on all of the burdens of childcare and basically help them out with whatever they need for a week while they can just really just have a time of rest before they go back to the field.
Yeah, and that's great. That's the Honeycutt family. You know, if you know that name, Todd Honeycutt and his family, we've been supporting them for years. And so we just want to say thank you for going, giving up of your time, and let's pray for them, okay? Lord Jesus, we pray for our team as they head out this week. Lord, we're grateful for what you've allowed us to do in Slovenia and with the Honeycutt family. We're so grateful that you connected us with them years ago. Thank you for the work that they're doing in helping their churches in that country work together to make Jesus known. Thank you for our opportunity to go and be servants, helping those missionaries to find refreshment and rest. We pray that you'd help our team to travel safely with all the requirements and issues that are going on in our world today. Lord, may you give them harmony and unity as they work together to serve those folks over there. And may you bring them back to us with a great report of how you use them at this season to make you known in that part of the world. Thank you for our team and their willingness to go. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen.
Thanks
so much, you guys. Thanks for coming, and thanks for doing that. Gabe, come on up. And we also want to introduce another missionary partner this morning. How many of you remember the Phillips family? Okay, Gabe and Eric Phillips. Gabe, do you remember the first year you came?
2015.
Yeah. I got to tell you that story because I showed up at church. I knew that this brothers were coming with their families to lead worship. I'd never met you and Eric. And I showed up, and at that time you had dreads like down to here.
Yeah.
And I wore a shirt and tie, and so on stage that day was this stuffy white-collar pastor who was wearing a tie and these totally hip and cool dudes from Chile, and our church just completely embraced it, and I was so proud of him. We fell in love with the Phillips family and with all that they're doing, so we've been partnering with you since 2015. Tell us, how have we partnered with you over the years?
Well, the first connection was because we started building homes for people that had lost everything in a tsunami and an earthquake, and we just connected so well with this church. I remember that trip. I remember it exactly because we were just trying to raise funds, and we were doing everything we could. But you know, when you live in Chile and you don't have all the connections, there are not that many churches that'll open their doors to you. And so for us, this is a church that actually has blessed us in ways that we had never imagined, both financially, but also that embrace. We felt it, and we were like, we're from thousands of miles away. We don't know anyone here, and we worship together, and we've been serving in ways that are amazing. And so we've done the work of helping families that lost everything, but now we've also been building churches, helping expand different ministry opportunities. So it's really, it might have even been 2012. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah. Yeah, now your dad and mom went to Chile and became missionaries for 3 years and stayed for 43 years. Yep. And your dad helped to start many churches there in the Santiago and surrounding areas. And now you've taken over kind of the mothership. You're the pastor of that church now, and you started in October of 2019.
Yes.
Which was a great time to start as a pastor in our world, you know, with COVID coming around the corner.
Yes.
And all of that. Tell us how that experience has been for the last 2 years, 2.5 years.
Well, it's actually been one of those very, very exciting times, but also terribly exhausting. Like, you can't make everyone happy during situations like this. And for me, constantly, I was thinking, like, my dad, he must have known that something was coming, and he, like, passed this over to me at the perfect time. We haven't been able to meet inside our church building for 2 years now, and so just being here today and hearing everyone's voices, it's different being inside, and hearing your voices and hearing you worship was just a great gift for me personally. We've been trying to be faithful in every area that we can. We started a ministry of just helping distribute food while we were kind of closed down. As things started to open up, we've begun a free soccer school because financially many families have been affected with all the things that got shut down. So it's been really hard, but it's also been really exciting just to see how if we keep operating out of a mentality of faith and not fear, we can still move forward even in times where it looks like you can't do anything. So the church is growing. By the grace of God, people are diving into the Word, and we're seeing lives changed even during these last 2 years.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now, you haven't been able to meet inside, so you've been meeting outside, but winter's coming again, and so you guys launched a project not too long ago to expand like a covered patio area, atrium kind of a thing, so that you can continue to meet outside but inside kind of a thing.
Yep.
And how's that going?
Yeah, so we just, by faith, in January, we started talking at leadership of the church, like, what are we going to do? Winter is coming again, and we just have way too many restrictions with way too many fines possible. So we decided to expand our building for two reasons. The first one is because during this pandemic, we still need some space. We need to space things out. But at the same time, we see people are coming to our church. It's becoming more and more well-known in the community through the outreach. And it's also just as smaller churches, unfortunately, have closed their doors, believers also need places to come to. So they're looking to our church. So it's kind of serving this double purpose. And we're just by faith, our goal is to be done in June. We poured the slab. We've done all the cheap things, you know, the inexpensive things. And now we need to start building and getting windows and maybe all the things that are going to require some help.
Yeah, and it's a $30,000 project. Your dad sent out an email about a month ago challenging the supporting churches. We sent some money in for that. You're about almost halfway there to the
yep.
$30,000. And so we're going to pray. If anybody wants to help donate toward that, Gabe will be out on the table today trying to raise another $15,000. Maybe we can get that for you today. That would be awesome if our church could raise to that challenge and meet that need, because it is a great need. Tell us your family here. Who is this?
So my wife and I have been married for 22 years. This is Mildred. Many of you have met her. She's super kind, serves at church as well, very involved. This is my oldest daughter, Sayen. She is 20, and she's leading worship. She has three music albums that she's released, and it's just a joy to watch her grow. This is my son, Kai. He's 17 now, last year of high school, also serves in the worship ministry and doing cameras and all that kind of stuff. And this is my daughter, Leia. She's 15. She's surfing. She's fourth in the nation right now and just wants to be a pro surfer and give God the glory for that. And Naya is our baby. She's 12. So we don't have any little kids anymore.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And she's awesome. She's got a great heart.
Yeah.
But yeah,
turn to the next slide. Use your remote there and
right
push the button to see this is what it looks like at your church right now. Okay, meeting outside on couches and masks on, and just the restrictions there are enormous, and the fines are enormous if you violate any of them. So you've been meeting outside,
And that's even bending a lot of rules. But we're like, okay, we're outside, and we're gonna at least try to make it feel like church, you know?
Yeah, but you survived the whole winter out there.
Yes, we did.
Wow. Wow. All right, the next slide. What's the next one? Okay. And that's the stage for outside that you do.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And we're very close to our neighbors, and that's part of the reason we need to get back inside. make a lot of noise for them, and we want to reach them.
So this morning you're talking about, go ahead, defining moments, sustaining rhythms. What's the idea behind that?
So one of the things that I've noticed, and I know that every culture and every church is a little bit different, but in the broad sense, I think many followers of Jesus, like the heat went down a little bit. It just felt like we got a little bit cold in certain areas. We were stuck. We didn't know when we could meet. We didn't know when we could go do missions again. And it just felt like for many people, it was just like a discouraging time. And maybe the calling and purpose on your life just kind of closed, you know, went down. Mm. So for me, I just started looking at Jesus, his moments, his rhythms, and how we need to adopt that as a church right now, globally.
Yeah, that's great. Well, let's welcome Gabe this morning and hear what he has to say from the Word. Take it away, Gabe.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you. So I want us to open our Bibles to Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. One of the maybe most beautiful passages about calling and purpose and how God just appoints Jesus in many senses during his baptism. It says, "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of heaven and said, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So I think a lot of us have had moments like this when we feel like the heavens opened and we felt God speaking to us. Maybe you actually heard his voice, or maybe he just placed something on your heart. And what I love about this moment is that the voice of God is using language from Scripture. Okay, so this is partly Psalm 2:7, which is a psalm of enthronement. So it's like saying, "This is my beloved Son," and it's kind of saying, "This is the King that's getting baptized in this muddy river." You know, this is the King that is going to be called to make a difference for all of humanity. But at the same time, the second part of the verse is echoing Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 53, which have to do with like the suffering servant. So it's a way of saying this is God's calling on Jesus' life, that he is going to be the King, but he's going to be a servant. He's going to be the King, but he's actually going to lay his life down. He's going to be a King that's different than any other king that has ever been, stepped on this earth. So I just love this idea of Jesus coming out of, you know, whatever his job was, probably some blue collar, maybe helping carpentry, and he hears the voice of God and its identity, its purpose, right? It's like, okay, this is what I am called to do. And he starts understanding, of course, like, I think it's more for us to understand, right? I am the king, the servant, the one that came to lay down his life for finally there to be peace and justice. I mean, Jesus is in the process of bringing what we all hope and long to see, right? That restoration of all things and just watching things actually be the way they should. So Jesus has this calling on his life, and I think many of us would expect, well, maybe in chapter 2 he's going to hear the voice of God again, and maybe the heavens are going to open again. But it's not. And it's actually several chapters later, several years later, actually, in his ministry, that he hears the voice of God in the same way again. And what I'm trying to say by this, and what I hope you can understand, is that during COVID or during the things that have taken place, maybe we think like, I haven't heard God's voice so much lately, or I just don't feel called anymore. I don't feel the purpose in my life. And that's why I want to look at not just those defining moments, but the sustaining rhythm in Jesus' life that allowed him to keep moving forward. So he was the king, the servant, the one that came to suffer, the one that came to lay his life down, right? But at the same time, he needed a connection with the Father that was probably daily, that was, and that's what I want us to look at now. We're gonna read Luke 5, and we're gonna read verses 15 through 16, and we're gonna see how on those good days, he needed this rhythm, and on the bad days, and we'll kind of go through that all, but it says, but the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. So those are the good days, right? Your ministry is growing. People are hearing about it. You're like, everything is going right. And so in many senses, it would be like a time to say, like, maybe we don't need to pray so much because obviously God is blessing us. But Jesus being, you know, 100% God, 100% man, he needed to set aside time to connect with the Father. So he needed to go away and be alone. And other verses talk about him, you know, when it was still dark, going away and praying. And so for me, it's very interesting to say, okay, Jesus hears the voice of God, but Jesus has these rhythms in place in his life. And it's like, I have to get away. I have to be in a place that's quiet. How hard is it today to be in a place that is quiet? I mean, do you guys try to do your devotional or something? Do you try to put your phone elsewhere? I mean, there is no way to have 5 minutes of uninterrupted silence unless you are highly, highly intentional. And it says here, right, that Jesus would go off into the wilderness and pray because he needed to disconnect. He needed, like to fully be able to hear the Father, to be able to pray, and just all the distractions needed to go away. So I love that when ministry was going really, really well, Jesus had this rhythm, and he was encouraging his followers to have these kind of rhythms as well. But we'll see just one chapter later, 6:12, when he's going to make a massive decision. It says, it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray and spent the whole night in prayer to God. When the day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles. So in the good days, he went and he prayed and he was alone on the mountain. Then when he had big decisions, things that would affect what we're doing till this day. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus, he went and he prayed and he he had a group of disciples, but he needed to appoint a group of ambassadors, a group of apostles, a group of people that were actually going to move things forward in a different way. Why would Jesus need, you know, he's like the Son of God. Why would he need to go away and pray in a mountain before he makes a decision like that? Because all of us need to eliminate the noise around us in order to be able to make the right kind of decisions. And I love that you're doing 24 hours of prayer. I mean, how many things should we actually pray all night for before we make some decisions, you know? How many mission trips? How many things do we say, wow, this could have an impact that goes so much farther than my life? And that's something that I want to kind of close with later, but we're making our stories the center of our lives. And we're making God's story like a small added part. So it's like I'm in the spotlight and God's goal is to bless me. And that way of thinking is really turning a whole generation of younger people into very, very anxious people. We're not made to be gods. We're made to step into God's story and be able to participate, and we have that privilege. And so when we get that balance right, it's not that our story doesn't matter. It's that our story fits into the bigger story of the glory of God. So I'm watching Jesus and his disciples and how he's making decisions that impact us to this day. I mean, I've heard people say, you know, there were other messiahs, there were other people that were saying they were the Son of God in the times of Jesus. And I go, okay, where are the people that are following them? Where are the books that they've written? Where that what Jesus did and what his followers did and what these 12 men were able to accomplish is crazy. The fact that we're in Northern California talking about it over 2,000 years later, and I flew up from Chile, you know, it's like, we're still talking about this. This big decision that Jesus makes of choosing these 12 in a night of prayer, it had an impact that has changed our lives. And I think of the story of my dad even. He flew down to Chile. He was 23. He didn't come from a church family. He broken home, alcoholic parents. And because he was able to hear the voice of God and because he was able to step out in faith, now there's over 10 churches in Chile. There's 4 churches in Peru. There's 10 churches in Ecuador. There's work in the Middle East. I'm probably getting my numbers a little bit off. I think I'm being conservative just to be sure. But it's amazing what can happen if we really listen to the voice of the Lord, make decisions guided by his Spirit, and just walk in faith. So we're going to continue moving along. We're also going to see you back to Mark. We're jumping around a little bit, but I didn't want to tell you these things. I wanted to actually for you to see that they're in Scripture. So Mark 6, and we'll read verses 30 through 34. It says, the apostle gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. But check out the next two verses. It says, the people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. So I like this one because it's like they come and they give this report to Jesus, and he's like, you guys are doing awesome, but you're exhausted. We need to get away. We need to go to a quiet place. We need to recharge. You haven't even eaten. And so they go and they set aside this time to be together with Jesus. And I'm sure they were praying in those times, and I'm sure they were spending time together. But people started running, and they get to the other side of the lake before the boat gets there. And And what I love about this story is, okay, we have to set the intention of being apart. We have to set this intention of recharging, being alone with the Lord, but sometimes it doesn't work out. And in this case, it didn't work out for Jesus, and they had to say, okay, we're going to keep ministering because obviously the need is so great. Why could they sustain it? And even when they were exhausted, they were able to work through this. Because it was constant. It was a rhythm. It was something that they always did. So I love this idea that sometimes I'm like, I want to spend some time with the Lord. And then somebody calls you and it's like they're in need. But no, I need to spend some time with the Lord. And actually, there are times when we have to understand what God is really calling us to. Maybe that person in need is just at a point in his life where God has been working. And it's the moment for you to speak truth into their lives and spend time with them. So rhythms, when you are exhausted, we try, we find the spots, but at the same time, if Jesus wasn't always able to accomplish his quiet time or his refreshment, right? Maybe we're not going to be able to do it every time either. And then Matthew 14, it sounds like it's similar moment in his life, but it's a little bit different. And 14:13 is we see the rhythm for the bad days as well. And it says, now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. John the Baptist, his cousin, the person that had baptized him, right, that we talked about in the beginning, had just got his head chopped off because of the way that he talked to the people in charge. He spoke truth to power, but it was at a high, high cost, and it was the cost of his life. But it's interesting to see that Jesus, you know, fully God, fully man, needed to go and cry on a boat. So it's like, you need to get away. You need to find times to just grieve. You need to find times to rest if you're exhausted. But you need to have a rhythm of spiritual formations, deep spiritual life. Coming to church is amazing, but it's not enough. There's no way it's going to get us through the week, you know, and there's no way it's going to keep us connected. I mean, how much other stuff are we listening to? I'm so worried about the next generation because I feel like they're being discipled by TikTok and Snapchat. And, you know, how do we as the people of God step into their lives and make a difference? I mean, everybody is kind of living their own life right now. Part of what COVID did was it was like it separated us all and we're like kind of lonely and alone, and it's hard to say, do we meet again? Do we gather? Do we spend some time? Do we eat together? Do we do all those things that we used to do? And they were so, so normal. And they're not anymore. But as the people of God, I think we need to push in that direction. We need to be strong in the Word. We need to be strong in prayer. We need to spend time alone with the Father. And then that has to move us to take action and be completely involved in what God is doing right now. Last verse, and then we'll do a few closing thoughts. So Mark 9. We'll read verses 2-7, a little bit longer, but it's an important passage, important moment. It says, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, and he brought them up on a high mountain by themselves. So the mountain thing again, the taking people apart. Not just the 12, but there was three within the 12, and he's intentional in spending time with these men. And he was transfigured before them. He was totally transformed. His garments became radiant and exceedingly white, as no launderer on earth can whiten them. Verse 4 says, Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. I love Peter. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to answer, for they become terrified. He didn't know what to say, so he's like, "I got to say something." But you know what I want to give to Peter? He understood that he was in the presence of the glory of God. And so in his mind, the glory of God needed a place, so it needed a tabernacle. So I need to do something. I need to build something because the glory of God is here, right? And I need to somehow make sure that it will stay here. I think those were the thoughts in his head. But it's just funny that it says he didn't know what to say, so he said something. I think we all do that sometimes, and it's something good to think about. Verse 7, then a cloud formed overshadowing them, and a voice came out of the cloud. "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Almost exactly the same thing that he heard when he was coming out of the water, right? But see how many things went on between those chapters? Between chapter 1 and chapter 9, there's so much that took place. Ministry and certain exhaustion and even probably certain failures and things that you have to deal with and your cousin being killed. And like, life is hard. It was hard for Jesus too. But he would set aside time. He would go up to the mountain. He would pray by himself. And he has another defining moment. And the people around him listen and they go, "Okay, this is truly the Son of God." They're in the process of understanding this. We get it. They didn't get it yet. We're on this side of it, so we can look back. Obviously, he was the Son of God, but they're still in this process of understanding what's taking place. And I love the verses, how it ends, and "This is my son, listen to him. This is my son, like, obey him." And watching what happened in the lives of those men is amazing. It's totally, I mean, it's the plan of God and the power of the Holy Spirit moving God's purposes along in ways that could never, we could never do in our own strength. And that's kind of what I wanted to end with. I wanted to encourage each one of us to think of the times that maybe we've felt that God spoke to us, because I think we've all had those defining moments. I really think that there's moments when God just imprints something on our heart. And that has to do with our calling, and that has to do with our purpose, and that has to do with our gifting. But I feel like this time of disruption, however great or small it has been in your particular case, I think the church in general has suffered from it. And I'm very encouraged to see that you're sending a team back out. And as soon as you're allowed to do these things, you're going to get back into the rhythms. And hopefully in even stronger and, you know, with more power than before, with 24 hours of prayer, with understanding. Man, I mean, we haven't been able to meet for 2 years inside a building. That's why when the day that the restrictions were lifted, we were outside worshiping in August. August is dead of winter for us, you know, but it was like the things that were so obvious and so common. Now you're like, "Church is awesome. I need to be in worship." And if we can start to shift and start to understand again, man, the calling that God has placed on the church as a whole is truly, truly something beautiful. As the saints, you know, the faithful ones, we have such a massive responsibility. And I think that because we were like separated a little bit, maybe we forgot about that. Or maybe it just became so normal. It's like, no, of course, we go to church and we give our offerings and we're good. God wants way more than that from each one of us. I think we're living in unprecedented times. There's things all across the world happening. I'm not going to say it's the end of time or the end of the world, but I am going to say I just turned 41. It's the end of my time. These are my last days, you know. I want to make my last days count. And some of your last days are closer than my last days, I think. Isn't it cool to think, listen to God. Listen to Jesus. Use everything that you have to further the kingdom, both energy, time, wisdom, resources. Like, I've had people approach me that I've barely met to say, would you spend some time just pouring into my life? And I'm sure that many of you have so much that you could pour into other people's lives. It's time for the church to kind of, okay, the two-year, this time is over. We're going to kick back into action, and we're going to be even stronger and better by the grace of God, so that when other things come, because I'm sure other challenges will come for the church, we're strong. We're strong in these spiritual disciplines. We're strong in these ways that we're connected. And even if we couldn't meet again in a large gathering, the church would keep, the church would be fine. The church would meet in homes. The church would be creative. The church would be totally resilient and keep moving forward with the plans and the purposes of God. So I just want to encourage you to think of those defining moments in your life, to try to ask God to remind you what it is that he has called you to do. What is that gifting that he has given you? Because I don't want to waste any more time, personally. We're doing everything we can, and we're as soon as we can get back inside our building by faith, we're going to be back inside our building. But at the same time, we've seen people come to Christ and be baptized because we're meeting outside. So it's like God does work all things for his good. So it's time for the church to kind of, okay, we took this little recess, this little break because of COVID. I think we may have failed in many areas. I think if it was a test, we need to make sure we make some adjustments for the future. But I really want to encourage you to think of what we do in regards to God's story and God's glory. Our lives, they're loaned to us, right? They're our resources, they're not ours. And there's nothing better. And I've had several conversations with friends right now. Maybe you guys have had similar ones, but it's like those times when I was serving at church, those times when I was going on those trips, those times when I was giving more, they were the best times of my life. And then when they back away from that a little bit and they get cold, many times life just doesn't have the same meaning because you're not following in the same way, because you're not obeying, you're not listening to the Son. You're not, throwing everything you've got towards God's mission, God's purposes for God's glory. So I'm just really, really encouraged to see you guys, to see that you made it through this. For us, like I said, this way of understanding the rhythms I need as a lead pastor, that I would have never taken the job if I had known what was coming for the next 2 years. But in many ways, it was just a way of shaping and looking at my life and being like, okay, I have to go deeper. I have to go deeper in the when nobody sees me, when nobody knows. And that's the important part about spiritual disciplines. So I just want to encourage you guys to think of your calling, think of those defining moments, think of what God has uniquely gifted you to do for the church and for the kingdom. And at the same time, start with something small. If you don't have this, maybe once a month you can have a little morning away, or maybe once a week, or if you can do it every day, it'd be amazing. But as followers of Jesus, we have to follow his example. We have to follow his model. Because if not, we're just not going to be able to make it in a meaningful way. We're not going to be able to make a difference and live how he has called us to live. So I just want to pray, and ask that God would bless this church so you could continue to reach out to your community. I think we always start at home. We have to start at home. But as we are serving at home, we're also serving elsewhere where God is opening doors. And I just pray that every one of you could find their place and their gift and their way to serve, because people need the gospel right now. People need to hear about Jesus, need to hear that they're loved, and the younger generations need to be challenged to live not for themselves, that they're not the center of the universe, that they're not what everything revolves around. They need to be challenged and understand that we live for God's glory, and we live for his purposes to be accomplished on earth. So let's pray. Father, we just come to you this morning thankful for this time that the church could gather and worship. Personally, for me, it was very, very meaningful to be able to hear the voices of my brothers and sisters, and I'm thankful that you've sustained this congregation. I'm thankful that they have built on the rock and they're solid in the word. And I just pray that as we come out of this season, we could use everything that you've given us, our time and our energy and our resources, so that we can continue partnering with you. We want to see your kingdom come. We want to see people be saved. We know that's your heart, Father, that everybody would be saved, that nobody should be lost. And I just pray that the church could step up in times like this. I thank you for this opportunity, this privilege to share the word this morning. And I just pray that you would speak to our lives individually, challenging us to have better rhythms, challenging us to seek you, to just set aside time for what's most important. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's say thank you to Gabe for coming today. Good job. Gabe's going to be at a table out here. You can come over and say hello. Ask him about what's going on in Chile. Ask him about this project that we're trying to help them wrap up this spring so that they can get some coverage for the winter time. And if you'd like to donate to it, you can talk to him about how doing that. Thanks so much for coming today. Lord bless you. Have a great day. Perfect peace.